Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Matt Tate, who covers KU for R1S1Sports.com. Something tells me that we're not going to have too many more conversations, at least about this KU basketball team with Matt Tate, not with the team that I've been watching. Matt, how are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing well, man. I think you might be right. But you can call me to talk about anything else you want. I'm always in.
No, you know what, Matt? We love to have you on the show. I've been to 4 KU basketball games this season. They have won one of those games. I've seen them at various stages. I saw them lose to Missouri. I saw them lose to Texas Tech a couple of weeks ago at Allen Fieldhouse. I saw them lose to Arizona yesterday. I saw them lose in the old season, plus this new one they've been talking about.
You pick some good games, though. I mean, at least, you know, you don't go watch them play UNC Wilmington or anything like that, which makes sense. I'd expect you to be at the big events, man. So, this is an interesting time, right, for this team. I think, CDOT, what's most interesting to me is even 3 days ago, before they played UCF in their opening Big 12 tournament game, I was talking to people inside the program, around the program, around the media, families, whatever, right? All kinds of different people that are kind of associated with this. And almost everybody I talked to had the same sense that they were turning a corner and there was something brewing and it was starting to feel like there might be a little something special on the horizon. That vibe, I think, largely gone now, because not only did they lose yesterday, but they didn't play great against UCF, and you know, obviously barely got by that one. So now, you know, it's the old standard for this season. They're sitting there and they're doing it again. Regroup and let's see if we can get it going moving forward. The problem for Kansas is the moving forward is one and done now. I mean, if you don't figure it out now, there is no more time. There is no next time to regroup. So, you know, we were in the locker room yesterday after the game talking to these guys. They say the right things. You know, they're spinning into the rest is going to be a good thing for them. They'll get their minds right. They'll get their bodies right. And I do think that, you know, crazier things have happened. I mean, it's certainly possible that they could figure out a way to win a game or two or three even. But if you look at this team on the whole and the season on the whole and you're expecting that to happen, then I think you're a little bit delusional, because they haven't shown that to us all year, and at least since the 8-0 start or whatever they started. So, you know, you almost feel for them, because I don't know what these guys can do. They have to sit in that locker room and say, you know, this is the time that matters. We believe in ourselves. We can make a run. They have to say all that stuff. But, you know, talk is cheap. That's the old adage. And they've got to show up and figure out a way to do it and do it back to back to back and do it consistently. And right now it's just so hard to picture them doing that.
Yeah. And I guess at least for me, Matt, I'm curious to get your thoughts on where do you think there has been the biggest disconnect? Because obviously this has not been the traditional KU year at home where they go undefeated. They lost three times. But since this team beat Duke on a neutral site, their wins away from Allen Fieldhouse are UCF twice, Colorado, TCU, and Cincinnati. They're about to play a team here, whether it's on Thursday or Friday, that is far better than any of those teams. Where do you think there has been that disconnect when this team is away from Allen Fieldhouse that they just haven't been able to hit their ceiling?
Yeah, I think it still comes down to the thing that's been a problem all year. Hunter Dickinson's a nice player, especially when he has it going. I mean, he has limitations. Nobody will deny that, but he can get numbers. And KJ Adams can play his role very well. DeJuan Harris can do what a point guard does. You know, what do you have against Arizona at home? 9 assists, 1 turnover. I mean, and maybe 15 points or something. I mean, like, he can play his role very well, but they don't have that dude. They don't have Jalen Wilson. They don't have Ochai. They don't have Devontae Graham, Frank Mason, Sharon Collins. They don't have the one guy that they can just give the ball to and say, go get it for us, whatever it is. Sometimes it's a bucket to win a game. Sometimes it's an attitude. Sometimes it's a stop. Sometimes it's, you know, a million different things, but it's always a mindset, and they're missing that. And that's not a knock on any of these guys because, you know, so much of that is – Sharon was born with that. You know, Jalen Wilson was born with that. They did develop it a little bit more as they, you know, played through their careers and matured and went through the battles in the Big 12 and the wins and the losses and all the wisdom you gain from both of those. So it did improve and progress, and they matured into it a little bit. But a lot of that is something you're born with, and it's the old, you know, you either have it or you don't. And I just don't think they have a guy on this roster that has that. And so, you know, the hope obviously was that maybe that would be AJ Storr when they brought him in. It hasn't been. And with that said, he scored 19 on Wednesday night. And if he didn't have 10 or 19, then they would have lost that game. So just a weird, you know, season of pieces not quite fitting. And you know when you do a puzzle and you're looking for that last piece and you can't find it, that's what this team feels like to me. It's like, I know it's here. Last time I did this puzzle with my kids, we had all the pieces. Where is that one? And it's just missing. And you find it 2 weeks later under the rug or something. And then the next thing you know, oh, okay, well, we don't need it now, right? Like, it's just been that kind of year where. I don't think it's been an effort thing. I don't think it's been that they don't care. I know the fans are killing them for all of that stuff. I do think they care, and I do think they've tried hard. I just don't think, you know, that the team has all the pieces you need, and they've been trying to mask that, and it just isn't possible. When you play good teams, they find a way to expose that.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Tate with R1S1Sports.com covering the Kansas Jayhawks. Now that this portion of the season is over, we all are waiting for Selection Sunday to see where their seed's going to be, where they're going to be headed. What seed do you think KU is going to be announced as on Sunday?
I think they're a 7. And I think they're a fortunate 7 because, you know, those wins that they got early against Duke, Michigan State, North Carolina, those are carrying them a little bit right now. That North Carolina win doesn't look great at all because they're in jeopardy of missing the tournament themselves. But what's funny is that's the pretty good case study right there when you look at those two programs, because they have, if not the exact same record, then within a game of the same record. And I think, doesn't Carolina play Duke tonight? Is that right?
Yep, they do.
Yeah, so I think the vibe around, you know, bracketologists and the whole, you know, the whole prognostication of this thing is, I think a lot of people think Carolina has to win that game to get into the tournament. And that shows you how valuable that KU's wins are, because they have darn near the same record. And if KU didn't have those early wins, they'd be sitting there with that record. And maybe that would have been what yesterday was about for Kansas. So They're on that razor's edge of you know, being very comfortably in and then being what Carolina is. And luckily for Kansas, they did get those wins. And so they've been considered for the last couple months a lock. It's never really been questioned. But having said that, I mean, I think they're a seven. I think the game yesterday, you know, if Arizona wins tonight and plays well in the title game or wins the title, they could probably bump their seed up a little bit. But if they lose tonight, I think yesterday's game was basically a 6-7 game. I think Arizona won, they're going to be a 6 now, unless they win tonight. If KU had won yesterday and lost tonight, I think KU would be a 6. So that's what that game felt like going into it. And so I think they're a 7. And, you know, I think that's probably about right. But that also means they're going to be playing a 10, and a 10 is a top 40 basketball team. And if you look at the AP poll, I don't remember exactly how many spots you had to go down from 25 to get to KU receiving votes, but it was pretty far down there. I think they only got 3 votes. So they're barely a top 40 team themselves, at least in the polls. So, you know, you're talking about a 7-10 first round game against probably a Power 5 type of opponent like an Oklahoma or something. I mean, that's probably pretty close to a coin flip game. So it's going to be uncharted territory for KU fans, especially. And it's going to be interesting. But, you know, you just never know what March is going to bring. And maybe these guys will be more up for an Oklahoma or an Indiana or an Arkansas, if that's who they draw, than they would be for a mid-major or a Samford like last year. You know, you just don't know. So it's going to be really interesting. I think people will still be paying attention, but I think most of the KU fans on Sunday will probably be watching the selection show sort of with one eye. They'll like have the volume way down and they'll have that other eye closed, but they'll still be looking just enough to kind of, you know, you can't quit this team. You can't quit this program. It's so many people's lives at this time of year, the KU fan base. So they'll pay attention, but they're not going to get too excited, I don't think.
Matt, last thing here, and we appreciate your time. I just want to point out how crazy it is that they have been having Big 12 tournaments since 1997. Not the Big 8. They've been having Big 12 tournaments since 97. This is the first time that KU, K-State, or Iowa State, that neither one of those three teams have at least made it to the semifinals. So it is going to be a very different look downtown tonight without having those three local schools still alive.
It is, man. And I think I heard a stat last night that this is the first time in the Big 12 tournament history that KU went back-to-back years without making a semifinal. So, it's a different time right now. And you know, they could have won that game. It was a one-point game with 5 minutes to go. And what cost them against Arizona last night was the same thing that's been costing them most of the year, and that's executing down the stretch. So, couple of turnovers, couple of missed shots. Next thing you know, you're down 7 and it's under 3 minutes. And you know, that just ends up being too big of a hole. So, they're just the weirdest team. I wrote this a while ago, maybe last week or the week before, but the way that I've best summed them up is they're just good enough to be not quite good enough. And I think that's perfectly said if you can get your head around it. I think it's who they are. Like they have moments where they look good and they have good pieces, but they just aren't quite good enough to get past that list of teams that you talked about as their only road wins. Like, they didn't go to Iowa State and win. They didn't go to Baylor and win. They didn't go to Houston and win. They lost to a lot of those teams at home too. They're just all season long. It's execution. It's little things. It's little mistakes here and mistakes there that have kept them from getting over that hump. And again, that's what makes it really hard to expect it to change in the next week or 2 weeks. If it does, you know, if they get a favorable draw and they're locked in and they win a game or two, you know, house money from that point on. And you never know what can happen then, especially with what could happen with any bracket any year. It could open up. But again, I think people are probably holding their breath and hoping for the best and not really expecting a big run. And if they get one, then, you know, that'll be gravy. But it's definitely not something that I feel like many people over here are thinking is coming.
That is our guy, Matt Tate, joining us on the show today. He covers the Jayhawks. He is with R1S1Sports.com. Be sure to check it out. He's one of the best when it comes to covering Kansas sports and especially Kansas basketball. Matt, great stuff, man. I appreciate your time.
All right, man. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the weekend games. And, we'll talk to you sometime soon, anytime.
Absolutely. That is Matt Tate joining us on the show today. Always appreciate his time. I do want to talk about KU for just a little bit here. Now, this is where I am going to give Sean Barber a lot of credit. And you guys love me and Barber go back and forth. And, Rob, what does Barber always say? You got to get off that computer box. You got to quit looking at the box score. You got to have a feel for the game, right? It's what he always says when we're talking about football. Now, sometimes I think Barber uses that as an excuse whenever the computer box is not telling him what he wants it to say. But I will say that Barber's logic, I think, 100% applies to Hunter Dickinson. Don't come at me like I don't watch him. I've seen Hunter Dickinson in person at least 7 times over the last 2 years. I watch Kansas basketball. He's the problem. I said this from the very beginning of the season, and no one listened to me. It is really, really hard to win at a consistent high level the level that Kansas is if your best player can't guard anybody. He can't guard anybody on the floor. It was obvious yesterday. Rob, you text me during the game. Arizona was hunting 2 people on the floor. Where's Hunter Dickinson? Let's get him in a switch. Let's pick and roll, and we can score on him. Where's AJ Store? And if you got 2 guys that are such a liability defensively, yes, we can talk about the offensive numbers for Hunter Dickinson. Yes, he's averaging 18 and 10, and the numbers are great. He gives up 24, 26 points. It affects everything you do defensively because he can't guard anybody out there on the floor. Hunter Dickinson is KU's biggest problem. They have other problems, but some of their problems are going to be fixed next season if they are just simply a better team defensively that can lock in. I can't think of too many KU teams that is a game that KU defensively is able to lock in the final 5 minutes. It's a 1-point game with 5 minutes to go at the T-Mobile Center. That crowd, I was there. That crowd was 85% KU. There was a little bit of Arizona, a little bit of a pocket, certainly more than I expected it to be. The Arizona crowd was noticeable. They were allowed yesterday, but come on now. That game is 45 minutes from the campus of Kansas. That is a KU home game. You got to be able to lock in defensively. There was not a single player yesterday on Arizona that I thought KU could guard. And a lot of that stems from the fact that you cannot protect the lane. Teams are going to knock down threes. We're getting dunks and layups and easy pick and rolls and just getting you constantly out of position because Hunter Dickinson cannot guard anybody on the floor. I do not care what the box score says. I don't care what the computer box says. I watch the games. I watch the basketball games. He's their problem. They will be better when he's off the team. They will be better. KJ tries very, very hard. He ain't good enough either. I'm not telling you things that you guys don't know. DeJuan, he's not any better than he was as a sophomore. He has not improved at all. This has been the most stagnant era of KU basketball that I can remember, where their foundation is just, it is noticeably flawed. Is what it is. Noticeably flawed. I don't have a lot of hope and confidence that KU is going to turn this thing around next week. It is the NCAA tournament. Anything can happen. One and done scenario. You got a great coach. They don't have the foundation to me to be able to make a run in the NCAA tournament. And they've shown me no reason how you can pick them to win multiple games away from Allen Fieldhouse. Since beating Duke, and that was in November, they have won 5 games away from Allen Fieldhouse. They have beat UCF twice, Colorado, TCU, and Cincinnati. That ain't getting it done in the NCAA tournament. Not at all. It's not close to being able to get it done in the NCAA tournament. They are going to struggle. We don't have too many more Kansas basketball topics left, folks. I'm here telling you that we don't have too many more left. We got one on Monday when we find out who they're playing. We'll talk about them on Thursday or Friday. I don't expect to be talking about KU for 2 more Mondays. I don't think they're going to be around for 2 more Mondays of college basketball. I think this team is very, very quickly exiting the NCAA tournament. I would like to play something for you guys, because sometimes I come on this show and we have a topic and you guys tell me that I'm wrong or I'm being a hater and stop being cheap. You know the things that you guys say, and it's mean and it hurts my feelings. Sometimes I go home and I weep, I cry. I do my best by you guys, and you guys don't do your best by me. That's not how this is supposed to work. But sometimes I hear a piece of audio, I hear a thing, and I'm thinking, man, I knew this whole time I was right. I remember, Rob, that you and I had a topic maybe about a year ago when it came to tipping your barber. And you told me sometimes you tip your barber, sometimes you don't tip your barber. And the text line is telling me I'm crazy. And I've told you guys that we have gotten out of control when it comes to tipping. Now the expectation is for us to tip for any and everything. How many of you in the morning maybe go inside to get yourself a nice iced coffee? No one even makes the coffee. You just walk inside the store and you just grab it off the rack. You take it up there and you just want to pay for it. And then the person, beep, they scan it. Then they turn around an iPad and now you feel the pressure to give them a tip. You didn't do anything. All you did was turn the iPad around. I've done all the work here. I got to give you a tip. There's an expectation for me to tip you at the end of it. It's wrong. It's nonsense. Why am I complaining about this? You guys feel the same way. Listen to this.
90% of Americans now believe tipping culture is out of control. That's what a new Wallet Hub survey found. Many believe businesses are shifting the responsibility of employee compensation onto customers through tips instead of paying employees a living wage. Now, consumers have reported feeling pressure to tip workers, including at counter service restaurants, self-service kiosks, and even medical offices. So what do you think? Is tipping culture out of control?
90% of Americans agree with me on this topic. It's too much. I don't mind tipping. I understand that tipping is a part of certain industries. When you sit down in a restaurant, you get really good service, you tip. I don't mind doing that. I don't mind tipping when you get a carryout order. Rob, you know, I love to get Chinese food. I probably get it once, twice a week for lunch. A little shrimp and broccoli, a little chicken and broccoli. I don't mind going in there and tipping. I don't mind it. They ask us to tip on everything. I can't think of too many other business models where the expectations to pay the employees comes from the customers and not the employer. That's what they've done. And they have phrased it like we're wrong for not wanting to participate in it. Like we're the problem. No, you're the problem as the company. You don't want to pay your employees. So now you're trying to shame me into doing it. Well, I mean, you're a bad guy if you don't tip. Oh, stop being cheap. Wait, hold on. What? I didn't sign up for this. What? Why do I have to do this? Oh, well, you got to tip 25, 30%. Why? You didn't do anything. You did nothing. I ordered a bottle of beer. I went up there. All you did was reach down in the ice and hand it to me. I got to give you extra money for that? You guys didn't allow me. I would have reached down in the ice to go get it. I would have walked over to the cooler. You didn't give me that option. You didn't make a drink and shake it up and you didn't do anything. All you did was grab a can and opened it and hand it to me. I got to give you $2 to do that, and everybody here is supposed to do that. It ain't right. This show will continue to fight the good fight. Maybe you're not with me. Maybe you're part of the 10%, but for the 90% of you driving around right now, I know you feel me. It's out of control. It's not our responsibility to pay your workers. That's your responsibility. That's what you signed up for as the company. You pay your people, but we got to pay them. And we got to pay the increase. You can't even get an omelet now. They charge you extra 75 cents per egg for the 3-egg omelet. And I got to pay your employees. It's too much. I will not stand around and let this happen. I'm going to fight the power. I mean, I'm going to keep tipping. I'm just going to complain about it to you guys, but I am going to fight the power. I'm telling you that much. I will continue to fight the power. Coming up on the other side, I wrote down what I believe are the Mount Rushmore plays for Alex Gordon. Alex Gordon is being inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame, certainly deserving. One of the most important Royals in franchise history. I think I have his definitive Mount Rushmore. I'll tell you what it is next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
All right, Rob, I don't want to spend too much time on this because it doesn't matter, but I won't be able to move forward. Will Smith announced that he is making a new music album. Who do you think this is for? Because you know I love Will Smith. He's one of my favorite celebrities. I know that he had the issue where he slapped that man. That ain't got nothing to do with me. He shouldn't have been saying nothing about his wife. Are you listening to Will Smith music in 2025? Is that something that you're going on Spotify to check out? Do you want to hear more Will Smith Fresh Prince raps? Is that what you're checking for?
No.
I'm sitting here looking at it. There's 14 songs. Good Lord. How long does Will Smith think that I'm going to be listening to Will Smith raps? This should have been a little 5-song EP. I don't need that much Will Smith in my life in 2025. Is he doing a movie? Is he doing the soundtrack? I'll take a little Men in Black, a little Wild Wild West. I don't want raps about what's going on in your personal life. Well, I'm okay. Why don't you make Focus 2? That's what I'm here for.
Did you like Focus?
It was okay. It was fine. I didn't love Focus, but it was fine.
I mean, it had some star power.
Yeah, no, it did. Margot Robbie, she's incredible. Will Smith's incredible. It was a good movie.
It was mediocre.
It was fine. What's your favorite Will Smith movie?
Ooh, that's a good question. Ali, probably, like, is his best performance. Okay. But, like, favorite? Like, the one, like, oh, I'm going to pop it in and watch again? Probably Men in Black, but his best performance is Ali.
Yeah, I really like Pursuit of Happiness. I'm a big Pursuit of Happiness fan. I think that's a really good movie. It's depressing, but it's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. I also like Men in Black. You can't like Will Smith and not like Men in Black. It's a great movie. It's a fantastic movie. Alex Gordon is going into the Royals Hall of Fame. Certainly deserving. Congratulations to Alex Gordon. He should most definitely be in the Royals Hall of Fame. I will say I'm a little surprised it's happened this quickly for Alex Gordon. I just didn't know the process. It's not like, how long has he been retired? It hasn't been that long, has it? I feel like he was just playing for the Royals a week ago, and now he's retired, and now he's already going into the Hall of Fame.
He retired in 2020.
Goodness gracious.
Remember his send-off game, there was no one in the stands.
Okay, goodness. I just didn't know. It would seem kind of quick. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, if they got a first ballot Royals Hall of Famer, Alex Gordon should certainly be in the first ballot. I'm a little surprised that it went as fast as it's gone. All right, what plays would you consider to be on the Mount Rushmore for Alex Gordon? Because I think there are some pretty undeniable ones. The home run that you hit in game one of the 2015 World Series. If they decided to make a statue of Alex Gordon, that would be the statue. Him rounding first base with his finger up after hitting maybe the most important home run in Royals history. That would be the statue. I would say the catch in foul territory against Chicago, believe that was a regular season game. It's on the road against the White Sox. He dives in the stands. It is just, it is one of the best defensive plays in Royals history. And for a team that was defined by defense for a 18-month period or so, that is one of the best defensive plays that was made during that time. Do you remember, and I can't remember the team, the details of this might be a little bit fuzzy, but I remember back in the day, Keatsman was kind of going at Alex Gordon. They had some kind of like fake beef or whatnot. And Alex Gordon hit a home run. I remember Keatsman said that the home run was win-aided. And then the next day, Alex Gordon hit a game-winning home run and then referenced it in the post-game interview. It was clear who he was talking about. I remember that moment like it just happened. That deserves to be on there. Alex Gordon usually wasn't the, I'm going to say something, but it was obvious that he heard this and in like real athlete fashion decided to answer the call, hit a home run the very next day that won the game. What else would you put on the Mount Rushmore? I think those three plays are undeniable on his Mount Rushmore. Is there one other play that you were thinking that maybe I've missed that you think this should for sure be on there? The home run in game one of the World Series, the catch against the White Sox, the win-aided home run that was a walk-off. What else should be on Alex Gordon's list?
So, I don't think they should be on the list, but when I think of Alex Gordon's tenure at the Royals, one thing that always stands out is he got the standing ovation in his first ever at-bat. Now, the at-bat was bad. Like, he struck out.
I was there.
Against Curt Schilling, by the way, who Curt Schilling should be in the Hall of Fame, but voters, we're not going to get into the Curt Schilling thing. Curt Schilling's a Hall of Fame level pitcher. He got a standing ovation. He struck out. Obviously not a highlight of Alex Gordon's career. But when you think of Alex Gordon, that moment comes to mind because that moment was what Kansas City thought he would be, and then he went through the trials and tribulations of moving from third base, going down to AAA, going to left field, becoming an elite left fielder, and then eventually winning the World Series in Kansas City. It is not a highlight. It is not a play per se. It is not a moment in time you're like, oh, like that was when you knew he was great. But it's just, it's hard for me to think of Alex Gordon's Royal tenure and not think of the fact that his first ever at bat, he walked to the plate, and on opening day, the K gave him a standing ovation because they believed he was the savior.
Yeah, I think that Alex Gordon is maybe an example of a couple of different things. I think, number one, with some guys, it takes time. Some guys you just know from the very, very beginning. Bobby Witt Jr. is that player. He has just been a very, very good player from start to finish. He has been incredible since coming in Major League Baseball. But for some guys like Mike Moustakas, I put Alex Gordon in that same conversation, it takes you a little bit to be able to figure it out. I mean, I would say that Gordon didn't really have it figured out until he was 27 years old. Now, from 27 till about 30, Alex Gordon was one of the best players in Major League Baseball. His prime was really strong. He could hit for power. He could steal bases. He got on base. He hit for average. He was maybe the best defensive outfielder in Major League Baseball during that time. His prime, it wasn't very long, but from 27 to 30, 31 years old, he was really good. And then it kind of fell off at the end from 2016 until he retired. He hit .235 with the .318 on-base percentage and slugged .362, and the contract was massive at that point. He also didn't really drive in a lot of runs, wasn't really a huge producer RBI-wise, and struck out a whole bunch in those last 5 years or so. It's not to put down Alex Gordon. I think Alex is an example that, for the most part, athletes, they freeze themselves in our mind. Even though Alex Gordon kept playing for 5 years after 2015. 2015 was Alex Gordon's last season in Kansas City. It just was. All the memories that you have of Alex Gordon, all the times, all the great things, his Hall of Fame argument, that all ended in 2015. He never made the All-Star team again. He was never an elite player after that point. His career ended, even though he kept playing, in 2015. Now, he is well deserved of being in the Royals Hall of Fame. He is one of the most important Royals of all time. They do not win the World Series or have the success that they have. And for a team that was built off pitching and defense, he was their best defensive player. They really needed Alex Gordon. But his career in Kansas City is just really, really interesting. It's really interesting. It also just goes to show you how hard it is. I mean, Alex Gordon, you remember, he was one of those prospects that was kind of can't miss when he came out. He was the second overall pick. He went to college. He had great success in college. He was a guy that was supposed to hit the ground running when he got called up. It took him 4 years to be able to figure it out. But when he figured it out, he was an exceptional player. So congratulations to Alex Gordon for being named to the Royals Hall of Fame. I think this is going to be a really fun year out at the ballpark. And not just because of what I feel about the team and how I think they can do. They're having Mike Moustakas Day out at the K this year. They are having Alex Gordon Day out at the K. It is a 10-year anniversary of them winning the World Series. I think they're going to have a lot of these things planned, pop up, announced. I think the Royals are going to do an exceptional job when it comes to promotions and reasons to get you to go out to the ballpark this season.
And we just saw, we've talked about it on the show ad nauseum, we just saw they released the list of the first initial 10 games that are going to be on KCTV5 and KCMO. Like, the Royals are going to go out of their way to try to get your eyeballs on their product, whether it be at the K, whether it be on TV, whether it be on the app. They are going to do a really good job this year. Someone told us also the 40-year anniversary of the 85 World Series, so they got both anniversaries coming. The Royals are already really good at promotions. I have a feeling they're going to be even better because I think the Royals and John Sherman and everyone over there knows the problem that baseball and the Royals had is they struggled to get eyeballs on their product, and I think they're going to do everything possible promotionally, television-wise, to get you to watch. And when you watch, you're going to like the team because it has Bobby Witt on it. He might be the best player in baseball.
You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. We appreciate you listening. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top stories locally in Kansas City. But coming up, there's some drama that's happening in the National Football League. Let's get to it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
The Commission, Uncle Paulie, P. Diddy, Cesar Leo, De Janeiro, Charlie Baltimore, Iceberg Slim, the most shady,
all right,
Frankie Baby.
We here. Do you know what
beefing.
Let's talk about beef. Because the Cowboys have some beef. Ask yourself about beef. This is what happened, folks. DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons are engaging in a little Twitter beef. DeMarcus Lawrence, he has changed teams. He plays for a new team now. He went to go play for the Seattle Seahawks. And he was doing an interview with the Seahawks. And in this interview, he said, Dallas is my home, but I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. Micah Parsons sees this, and of course, he's upset about it. So he responded and said, this is what rejection and envy looks like. This is clown blank. And he fired back with some clown emojis. DeMarcus Lawrence then replied to Micah Parsons. And he said, quote, calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told you the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left. Now, everybody be getting on Micah Parsons about having a podcast. If Micah Parsons wants the podcast, let him. He's one of the best players in the league. I don't really know what you can say if you're Micah Parsons if that happens. I think we have to award this win to DeMarcus Lawrence, right? I don't really know how you even come back. That seems like the trump card. Hey, you don't win enough. I told you this in person. You're a loser. That's why I had to get away from you. I think DeMarcus Lawrence won this beef. Rob, how are we ruling here in the Twitter feud between Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, where both of them were very direct towards the other person? One of them called you a clown and said, this is what rejection and envy looks like. The other guy said, why don't you put down the podcast, Mike, quit tweeting, and why don't you focus on football? I think I have to award this to DeMarcus Lawrence. This is a 27-13, very convincing win.
Can they both lose? Because maybe DeMarcus Lawrence is right. He cares too much. Micah Parsons cares too much about his podcast, and they're not going to win any winning in Dallas. But it's not like DeMarcus Lawrence going to do any winning in Seattle.
That's fair.
Like, if he had signed with the Bills, I know they were looking for a pass rusher.
No, that's fair.
And he signed, he's like, I'm looking to be with a winner, not those loser blanks. Like, hey, then maybe you have a leg to stand on. But you're going to go after Micah Parsons, who's better than you, by the way.
He is better.
Makes a lot more money than you, and call him a loser because you signed in Seattle. You guys are both chasing the same 7-10 season. Why is this a thing?
So you think that this is a draw?
I think two losers yelling at each other is not... No one gets to win.
Okay, I just wanted to know.
If you were down on Tuesday night, the Big 12 title, Big 12 championship game, and you saw, you know, Utah and UCF fans yapping, I would say go home, both of you. You're losers.
Okay. So we're not scoring this for anybody. This is a 3-3... tie.
No contest.
This is a no contest. All right, that's fair.
This is like one of Jake Paul's fights. Fixed, and no one cares.
Yeah, no, okay. I just wanted to know what you think. I'm happy to know. Speaking of the Cowboys, oh, they find themselves, they are in a what would appear to be a bidding war for Cooper Kupp. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like there's a handful of teams that want Cooper Kupp. Are the Cowboys in it? Are they not in it? Are they interested? Are they not? No one knows whether or not. There's conflicting reports. Adam Schefter is telling you that they are interested. Some Cowboys people are telling you they're not interested. Who knows? But their name is being linked to Cooper Kupp, and they are also linked to the Denver Broncos as a team that could potentially go out there and make a move for the, I guess, former All-Pro wide receiver. So we'll figure out what team. I will say this. This is what I would like. I want Cooper Kupp and Aaron Rodgers to wrap this up before the NCAA tournament gets going. I can't tell them how to live their life. And I understand that you got a big decision where you want to live, where you want to potentially move, that you need some time to consider an offer. That is reasonable to me to have some time about what you want to do. I'm not spending the Thursday of the NCAA tournament talking about Aaron Rodgers and what team he's going to play for. Aaron, you still got a couple of days to catch our attention. You better do this on Saturday evening. You better do this on Sunday morning. You better do this on Tuesday during the NIT. Because I'm telling you this. The moment I see Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith talking about Houston, and I ain't talking about the Rockets, it's over. Your free agency's done once I hear that music from CBS. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. What team do you think Cooper Kupp goes to play for?
I've seen some reporting that the Jags are very interested. That feels like a place to end your career and be obsolete but make a lot of money. So I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it was Diana Rossini said the Jags and Saints are making a late push. They need weaponry. They have a new coach. They need something splashy. I think Cooper Kupp's mostly done, so I would take the Jags.
There's a handful of teams that if you join them, you're telling the rest of us that you're washed. I'm serious. If you're a free agent wide receiver and you go play in Tennessee, you're telling me I'm cooked. That's what you're telling me. There has not been in the entire franchise history for the Tennessee Titans, there has not been a veteran receiver join them and have success. If you join them, it's over for you. Jacksonville might be in that same vein. No one's career has found a rebirth in Jacksonville, Florida. Not a single person. You can be drafted there and have success. Yeah. You don't go there in your 30s and have success. Florida is where old people go to retire. So, Cooper, I want you to keep that in mind. If you go join Jacksonville, you're telling me that you think you're cooked. Go play for the Broncos. Broncos made the playoffs last year. They got a young quarterback. They got a great head coach with an offensive mind. Joining the Broncos will give you a purpose in life. Joining Jacksonville is not giving you any purpose. None. Aaron Rodgers, we want you to wrap this thing up too by the end of the week. I believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think he is going to emerge from the darkness or wherever he currently is right now. Last time I saw him, he was on the beach wrapped up in a blanket. I don't know where he is. I think that we are going to find out sometime early next week, Monday or Tuesday. I believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to go on the Pat McAfee show before the NCAA tournament. And I think he is going to tell us that he has made a decision to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what I think is going to happen. It makes the most sense to me. So those are two players that we are kind of waiting to see what's going to happen, what's going to be the word, and we can all move forward in free agency. There's not a lot of decisions left to make. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, there's a lot to get into regarding free agency and also college basketball. We'll do all that next in the hits. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.